Byron Radio.
I'm pleased we know that then. So, Anna, whom would you like to chat to? Would you like to go to Abigail LeMay, who has spent the period over the festive holidays dealing with a broken wrist?
Broken hand.
Broken hand.
Oh,
skiing.
Yes.
Exactly. Would it be the wondrous Eloise Sheehan, who's... what have you been doing over the Christmas period? Writing essays, presumably.
Yeah, that's literally it.
Writing essays, exactly. And similarly, Bethany, presumably you also.
Exactly the same.
Yep, just essays. Make my heart good to actually get some emails from both of you during the session to say, yeah, I thought, yes, exactly, all worth it. And, of course, we've got Ben Lewis. Who do you wish to speak to?
Ben? I'll speak to Abigail, actually, because this broken wrist thing sounds absolutely awful. Was it, I mean, presumably an accident?
It was not planned, that's for sure. I was skiing and I fell down the hill and turns out I broke my second and third metacarpal bones.
Ouch, mm-hmm. Ouch. Oh dear, I mean, did you presumably have treatment on where you were, on holiday? Presumably they whizzed you off and there was insurance cover with the trip.
Well, this is I was in the US, skiing. So...
Oh right, okay.
Yeah, so...
Home territory.
It was bad, but all my friends that were there with me drove me back to Canada, so it was all fine and dandy.
Is it a case when you're in the United States as a Canadian, you feel you're kind of on a missionary role, you try to civilize them there, and you just think, what, you know?
No, we try to avoid them. As best as we
can. Okay.
Yeah, we try as well, but still, there we are. I was talking to the chief executive officer of Friends of the Earth this morning, an interview working here tomorrow, and he was saying that, of course, with respect to a no-deal Brexit, it means that Donald Trump will be able to use the British Kingdom as a dumping ground, which is nice. Yeah, so that's something to look forward to. Anyway, apart from that, it's not a political role. Why would we go into that? Because we've got the award season coming up from that point of view. Have you ever had any broken bones through sort of overexertion and such like stuff, Anna?
I had a hairline fracture when I slipped on a floor trying to clean it, and they put the plaster cast too far down my knuckle so that I couldn't do anything. And in the end, it sounds awful, but I slipped the cast off. It was so uncomfortable, and I've more or less discharged myself. But it was just too far down the hand, and I had my daughter who was in nappies, and I'll be honest with you, changing a nappy with your hand and arm in a cast is just not possible. So I took a chance, and you know, I've still got a hand at work, so it couldn't, you know, the whatever hairline fracture it was okay.
Thankfully, Abigail, you didn't have to change any nappies with your broken hand, because otherwise.
Anyway,
and whilst we're talking about broken bones, etc., Ben, any sort of broken bones that you've ever sort of encountered?
Yeah, I broke my left wrist. In fact, it was in two places. And twice. I used to play football, and I saved a penalty before we were training. So while we were training before the tournament, and that broke my wrist. And then 6 weeks later, at school, fell over, broke my wrist again, same wrist. And then I dislocated my left baby finger at school playing rugby.
Okay.
Yeah, not a good track record, exactly. But it's not too bad.
Eloise.
No, nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
No.
Good. Bethany, I know it's shocking, but that's because Eloise is a superheroine. You know,
I don't know,
she's unbreakable, quite literally. You know, it's like she's a female version of Samuel Jackson's character. You know, it's just, I don't know.
It's a trait of Hammersmith.
That's what it is.
Hammersmith, hard Hammersmith.
Exactly.
Yeah. Come on, have it. Sorry, that's a Hammersmith person, obviously.
Hammersmith Eloise. Massive, that's what it is.
Clearly. Bethany.
I went through like a massively clumsy stage where I just seemed to break everything. So I've done quite a few different things. But I had a skiing accident too, and I had the little bobsled thing you had too, which was
great.
Very embarrassing.
Was that in the United
States?
I sliced
my face open. I've still got the scar, so it's quite... I love a scar. Good stories.
Well, there we are. Exactly. Every scar tells a story from that point of view. A bit like Patisserie Valerie. I see, Anna, you're disappointed that Patisserie Valerie has gone.
It's an institution. I mean, honestly, one... dodgy accountant can cause such a devastation to a really lovely business. I mean, it's a sign of our times, though. It's a sign of the greed and incompetence and horror of, like, staff that have got no real loyalty to the company they work for. I mean, honestly, this is embezzlement, and it's caused the downfall of I love going in there. It's, even if you don't eat anything. I mean, I'm diabetic, so I've got to be very restrictive. But I just love looking at their cakes. It's like a display of beauty when you look in there, Valerie patisserie value window. So, yeah, but
on the plus side, less chance to get diabetes type 2. You know, so I might as well basically ease away from that. Spoonful of sugar, it's not appropriate at all in any way, shape or form. I noticed, Annie, you've also been circulating videos of little birds and budgerigars. So what's been the line of actually sort of deciding to share these budgerigar videos?
For those film boffins, there used to be a studio around here that filmed a particular film where the green parakeets had escaped, apparently, from the film set. So we have parakeets everywhere. They're manic. They squawk at you. And also, I used to have a budgerigar who I love to bits, and he's obviously passed on now. But when I saw those birds and their cheerful disposition, it put a smile on my face, and I had to share that.
Was that Peter the budgerigar?
No, it was one called Grayson.
Grayson.
He was found in our garden, and we decided, with the okay from the animal shelter, we were allowed to keep him. So. Yes, he was lovely.
Named after the alter ego of the first Robin, Dick Grayson, or possibly the artist Grayson Perry. Either of those two things. Budgerigars, how do we feel about them, Bethany?
You're the worst person. I'm not really an animal person. I'm really sorry.
I mean, is it capturing your heart, Eloise, the budgerigar?
That's actually the best thing I've seen today.
Well, there we are. And the show's only 8 minutes in. It's fantastic. You know, we're going to raise that whole process. And what about yourself, Ben?
Budgies, I don't mind them. They're a bit loud, though, aren't they?
They have their moments. I mean, ours used to squawk, and he used to get involved in arguments. But the most bizarre thing is he used to chirp along to German World War II band music. He was a fan of that, and it was...
That's all I wonder.
That's a talking point, isn't it?
Brings with all of these challenges in Parliament, why not actually get some budgerigars who like to squawk along to First World War German military
music?
Second World War. Yeah, I'm sure it would help. And Abigail, budgerigars? I know you're around the corner from the actual video screen, but it's all right. Power of the imagination.
I mean, I like birds. I don't think I'd like to keep one as a pet, but I do like seeing them in nature.
There is a sort of a thought that they are actually dinosaurs. That's the critical thing. We're going to find out what William Coles has been up to in Edinburgh shortly. And yes, this is the year when hopefully we'll be visiting William, at least on the border, before, of course, the Iron Curtain comes down and we actually cease to actually have free passage between, obviously, countries that voted to remain and countries that voted to stay.
Oh, and if Sturgeon has a way as well, who knows? We may not be a United Kingdom.
It's like Mary Queen of Scots for the 21st century. Amazing. We'll talk about that as well with Richard Fitzwilliams tomorrow. Let's see who's got the ability. I think, Bethany, the last two questions for Anna, please, from your good self.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
I have. Thank you very much.
And would you care to join us again sometime?
Oh, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Expression, the way we William Coles, romantic novelist, political journalist, and regular midweek drive correspondent from the capital of Scotland, with or without his prehistoric shark's teeth.
Except, actually, he's not in the capital of Scotland today. He's actually in a large town and former royal borough on the west coast of Ayrshire in Scotland, at the administrative centre of the South Ayrshire Council area, and indeed the historic county town of Ayrshire. Currently the most populated settlement in Ayrshire and the 14th most populous settlement in Scotland. Now, let it be said, we don't provide you with useful snippets of information culled from our good friends on the web, Bill.
That's great the way you look up. I tell you that I'm in air and you look it up and you give us all the hot facts, mate. They're getting very excited about Rabbi Burns at the moment.
Well, this is the moment. I did consider putting it under the possible discussion topics to add to the awards season, the importance of experience, the changing styles of variety. But of course, I, Rabbi Burns, wee timorous, wee Scotsman, it is indeed going to be the Burns Night.
You really need to practice on that.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
I was trying to channel my inner Guernsey.
Leave it to the Scots, I think.
Really? Okay. Oh, well. what the heck? But, I mean, are you all set for this? Is it, obviously, I've always thought of this as kind of like the end of the festive season, really, if you're in Scotland. Because, I mean, once you've had Burns Night, that's it. I mean, what you can look forward to is more Brexit talks.
More Brexit talks, and obviously Valentine's Day, I guess that's a big one.
Mm.
The Burns Night is, I mean, being English, it's not that big a deal for me. I'd much rather Shakespeare than Burns. And most of his stuff is incomprehensible.
Right, yeah. Mind you, that can be said about an awful lot of Scots. But anyway, it can be, yeah, it's just a way forward. Things to do in Ayr. Apparently, you can actually go shopping in Ayr. It's got excellent shopping facilities and counts branches of the main multiple stores alongside a wide range of interesting individually owned shops. You can actually play golf, obviously. And indeed, you mentioned his name, Robert Burns.
You can breathe as well, that's quite good in Ayr.
Oh. Yeah. See what he did there, you know, honestly. The cutting edge of commentary that Ben brings to the game. It's why he's there, you know. Whatever happens in months to come, when he gets his first class honours, I'm sure we'll still lock him into...
That's very ambitious, obviously.
The Robert Burns Birthplace Museum is also there, which offers a truly, truly unique encounter with Scotland's favourite son. So, let's just share with the team. And let's start off with our Canadian correspondent extraordinaire, Abigail LeMay. Are you familiar with Robert Burns? Is it a case of, sorry, you speak in strange languages?
Yeah, I can't say I am familiar with Robert Burns, sorry.
Completely. You see, the shock.
You were taken back there, weren't you?
I was indeed. There was the whole sort of special relationship gone completely on that line of things. Eloise, Robbie Burns.
I also have no idea.
Oh.
I'm ever so sorry.
Where's the shock now?
Well said. As Burns made Brighton, Ben.
Yeah, I know it, yeah. Yeah, Robert Burns, he's a writer. Or
poet.
More importantly. And I found that out in Edinburgh, funny enough. But, it's very big in Scotland, and Burns Night is fast approaching.
Not to be confused, of course, with Robert the Bruce, who's a completely different individual. Another Robert, but different lines.
There's a nice statue of Robert Burns, I believe, in Edinburgh.
Visit the birthplace of a genius, it actually says. I detect from your own views, Bethany, that Robbie Burns is locked into place, even in the joys of Solihull?
Near Birmingham.
Yeah. Near Birmingham, exactly.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
But Robert Burns, as an English student, I think it would be a bit dodgy if I didn't know him, but Fire and Ice, that's a really good poem. If you don't know it, look it up.
He was an Ayrshire ploughman. He became one of the world's best-known poets. Born on January the 25th, in the old clay biggin that is also known as Burns Cottage. And his poetry is at the core of his lasting fame, with some samples of his work. For instance, Oh Once I Loved, a poet's welcome to his love, a forgotten daughter, and the Cotter's Saturday Night, which is a favourite of many Victorian writers and readers of Burns, which goes something along the lines of, my loved, my honoured, much respected friend, no mercenary bard his homage pays. With honest pride I scorn each selfish end, my dearest meed, a friend's esteem and praise.
Brilliant, very, very well done, and without too much of an accent as well.
I dropped the accent, because you know, I figured that actually...
Thank God.
Honestly. So, have you always been a Robert Burns fan? Is this something that, or is it just a case of, well, the family have dragged you here to Ayrshire, and therefore it's important to follow the Robert Burns Birthplace Museum? And have you been to the Robert Burns Birthplace Museum?
No, I haven't. I've been in the library today. I'm giving a talk to the AIR Writers Group, and they booked me up a year ago to come here tonight to give them a chat about journalism. So in order to speed the talk along, I've been doing my research in the library.
Nice.
I have not been to Robert Burns' birthplace, and I'm not sure, even with an interactive Robert Burns, I'm not sure it'd be really my cup of tea.
Well, I mean, tags 18th century, Alloway, Eyre, Berkshire, Burns Night, of course. Will you be celebrating the actual Burns Night supper yourself, and the neeps and tatties will be brought in?
We had haggis a month ago, and my wife said to me, shall we have a Burns Night, shall we have more haggis? And I said, haggis, you know, a little bit of it goes a long way. Mm. I mean, I can take it about twice a year, and... twice within 1 month, too much for me.
It does tend to repeat, I find, actually, which is not good.
Just, you know, like kippers.
Oh, please, don't stoke. Can I have kippers for breakfast? Mummy dear, mummy dear. It's a reference of a Supertramp song. Check it out on YouTube or something. It's just a thought. Anyway, any other questions that you'd like to put to William Coles, our Ayrshire correspondent today? Bethany.
Oh, God. What's your favourite thing about Scotland?
The favourite thing about Scotland. Oh, well, it's got to be the mountains. I mean, if you're in England, you've got very few mountains. All you've got is Scafold Pike, Pennines, that sort of stuff. But here, you've got mountains all over the place, quite big ones. And even in Edinburgh, where I live, there's a pretty big hill bang in the middle. And you start walking 5 minutes from your house and you're in the middle of what appears to be the country.
Well, there you go.
Is that Arthur's
seat?
That's Arthur's seat, exactly.
I've never been to Scotland, but everyone everyone says it's like beautiful.
Well, then, Bethany, you will join the Midweek Drive Sharabang, which we're organising in the next few months. As we said to William Coles, we said springtime in Scotland.
It's really pretty,
I'm sure it'll be wonderful. Meanwhile, from the New Theatre Royal Lincoln, if you have a dog, small dog, size of Toto, they're auditioning, starting very soon, for their spring season pantomime The Wizard of Oz, and they need a canine to actually be Toto. So
should we get Gabriella's dog? Should we get him?
Yeah, you see, unfortunately he's pug.
Frodo? Should we get Frodo? I'm sure we can get away with a pug. It's small.
I don't know, Wizard of Oz with a pug.
Very modern.
I mean, you know, with that sort of...
I'm sure they'd be fit in a costume, wouldn't they? He wears them often.
Yeah, he'd probably wear the costume, but listen... Anyway,
I'll have to suggest in the morning.
And how is the book on David Cameron's remorse and regret over what he actually did over the referendum coming along, Bill?
I don't think it's going very well, because David is not very popular at the moment. In fact, he's hated across the UK, and I think the book will not sell well. So it's in the doldrums. Unless he miraculously has a comeback and everyone starts to think he's great again, I think it's going to be a turkey, much like his own autobiography.
Wow. Harsh words. You know, suddenly David Cameron had actually sort of mercilessly cut to the quick there. Amazing.
Yes, I'm afraid... I mean, it takes something to be more popular than...
The Pops, the Plague.
David Cameron. And that is Tony Blair. I mean, he was sung without trace, and now he seems like, you know, possibly statesman-like in comparison to David Cameron.
I mean, I know Ben's secretly sort of rooting for Diane Abbott to actually take over the running of the country.
Honestly, I can't wait.
Especially after her recent Question Time appearance.
Yeah, I watched that, actually.
Face-to-face with Fiona Bruce.
They're in Lincoln as well.
Yeah, I know. Small world. There you are. Everything centres on Lincoln. That's England as opposed to Nebraska. We do have a guest next week who's the author who created The Prodigy, who's actually joining us.
And not she. The
The TV series. She thought originally we'd be in touch because it was Lincoln, Nebraska. No, it's all right. But she used to, it's okay because she still likes that international approach to all things. So it's great stuff there. So let's go to Abigail. Would you like to put those last two questions to... Sorry, it's David Guetta coming in there without such as a buy your leave. You know, sometimes you have a slight cough and instantly David Guetta comes in with BB Rexha. Go away, David.
Oh,
would you like to put those last two questions to William Coles?
I can try. Have you had a reasonably good telephonic link with us today?
Nice.
Yes, it has been reasonably good. Thank you so much for asking.
Wonderful. And will you be joining us again?
Just as soon as the boss asks me. Thank you.
Awesome.
Yes, it's time you to stop all of this sobbing. Oh, oh, there's one thing you gotta do to make me still want you.
Gotta stop sobbing now. Gotta stop sobbing now.
Yeah, yeah. Stop, 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 stop. It is time for you to laugh instead of.
Eva MacDonald, welcome back to the airwaves of Siren Radio. How are you?
Hello, I'm fine, thank you.
Did you forget once again about the bridge work that's taking place?
No, I didn't. Oh. It just took longer.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Timing, that's the whole essence of the whole essence. Now, Eva, this afternoon I was speaking to folk from the New Theatre Royal Lincoln, and
right.
I found that there's yet another level in terms of people signing up for various other pieces. We actually had in the studio Miss Galaxy Lincolnshire. Miss Galaxy
you?
Lincolnshire.
Yes, there are different pageants.
Whoa, I was confused when you were Miss Lincolnshire, and then we had Chloe Rose, of course, who also Miss Lincolnshire, but a different line. Miss Galaxy Lincolnshire.
Yeah, there's a Galaxy pageant. There's a
Super Cosmos pageant.
Yeah, you could say
Mega Galactic Cosmos pageant.
There's a Great Britain pageant, a Teen Great Britain pageant.
Mm-hmm.
And then international as well, and loads of ones.
Amazing. Never managed the high heels myself. Anyway, Benjamin William Pike, have you ever considered writing a song about a beauty pageant?
I haven't, but I may do now.
There we are, you see. It's been opened up as a possibility. You know, we're sort of sharing that with you all. Now, just to confirm, we are on the right page on that wonderful Mark Zuckerberg collection of Facebook with your good self looking a little bit moody. It's almost a silhouette of your good self, basically, with the words Benjamin William Pike upon your person there. Is that correct?
Yeah. That's the one, yeah, that'll be me.
Because obviously all sorts of things can be. And we also have musician/band from that point of view, which was great stuff. In the studio, we have five fantastic folk who will be casting their critical ears over the offering that you've put forward for today, Someone Else's Tears. I, of course, have to remain neutral, apart from saying I think it's pretty awesome. It's a BWP. Obviously, we're not setting the whole thing through, because I think it's fair to say that neither Abigail, Eloise, Eva, Ben or Bethany have actually encountered Someone Else's Tears before. I mean, you might have, obviously, in the literal sense, perhaps, but not the truth. Whoa!
Yeah.
You see, Eloise has already... These film and television study students, they just go that extra distance. They read the thing through, they work through that process. Well, let's see if it gets even better second time round. Let's listen to Benjamin, William Pike, BWP, and Someone Else's Tears.
Stand away and tears the heart. Wise memory, always sweet when you've seen it from afar. I ain't lying to make it light, cause I miss you. I ain't losing sleep, cause I need you by my side. I ain't breaking down. Someone who sees tears in my eyes. Time's a healer, love's a dealer. Some things that you do can't be undone. Words are deadly, so use them wisely. Kill a man as easy as a gun. And I ain't lying awake at night, cause I miss you. I ain't losing sleep, cause I need you by my side. I ain't breaking down the thought of being with you. These must be someone else's tears in my eyes. Drinking in the morning, cause I miss you. And I ain't sitting in the dark alone at night. And I ain't going out and getting into bar fights. These must be someone else's tears in my eyes. I miss you. I ain't losing sleep, cause I need you by my side. I ain't breaking down at the thought of being with you. These must be someone else's tears in my eyes. These must be someone else's tears in my eyes. These must be someone else's tears in my eyes.
Deserves a round of applause.
Yay!
But that's the polite section of the team. So, Ben, we're going to go round the setup now and find out what people thought of the whole system. So let's start off with Eloise, second time round for yourself. How did you appreciate it this time?
Oh, I really liked it. It's very different to what I normally listen to.
Okay, so yeah, that's nice line from that for you.
Really,
Bethany, you were quite confused by the video because you're actually saying, what's that twirly bit thing that's sort of around on the fourth floor?
The instrument, I couldn't figure out what he was playing. There's obviously the guitar and
was this a random house that you actually turned up in, Ben? Was it just a case where you said let's do the show right here? Is that an insight into various other bits and pieces?
It was actually the guy who's playing the steel guitar, which is I think the instrument you're trying to think of. So it was his house, actually.
Oh, Very good. Nice garden, I thought. Very nice garden.
Yeah, it's a very nice house and garden, and yeah, we quite like playing there.
Well, so I mean, it is impressive. John Lennon, you know, he probably wouldn't have written Imagine if he didn't have a nice garden in the background. So, you know, these are very important. You can never underestimate the importance of a good garden when you actually want to do some creativity. Lawn was well kept. It was very appropriate. Nice, nicely put together.
Yeah.
Eva MacDonald.
Hello.
What did you make of it?
I really liked it. It was a nice chilled out song. Someone Else's Tears. What's the inspiration for it? Mm. What's the inspiration for the actual song?
So basically, it's about
somebody crying,
pretending you're okay when you're actually not. So
we've been
someone
there,
saying these are someone else's tears in my eyes. They're not mine, but of course, they're my own tears.
As a man, we've been through all of that. I mean, I'm sure you know. I mean, you know, Ben, you would identify with your namesake, Ben.
Yeah.
In terms of,
I mean, from one Ben to another. I mean,
exactly.
I feel it. I really do.
Too much, precisely. So, what did you make of the thing, Ben Lewis?
I actually really enjoyed it. It was quite easy listening, which I quite like sometimes. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm quite into rock and you know acoustic as well, but I quite like to just. Yeah, especially in the summer, songs like that where you sit down, you chill, and I think it's actually quite a nice song to listen to.
I am intrigued by the artistic line of Benjamin William Pike's Someone Else's Tears, which looks very much like the eye of Osiris that you actually put in there, some kind of all-seeing eye. Was that a deliberate attempt to actually sort of tap into the occult, or was it just a case of, well, it looked a good idea at the time?
I mean, that was more due down to my graphic designer who does all the artwork and stuff. I'm terrible at all that, so I stick to playing with guitar. The artwork was just, it was obviously inspired by the tears, and I, there's the connection, and I just sort of said to him, you know, you do what you do best.
Co-creation.
He came up with that design, and I thought it looked pretty cool, so...
In the words of BBC Radio 2, presumably the entire station speak as a choral opportunity, amazing, just outstanding. Yeah. Quite literally, the independent, brilliant finger-style guitarist. And Folk Radio UK, outstanding guitarist and songwriter. All absolutely very well sorted aspects, but they don't matter a hill of beans unless our Canadian correspondent also gives it a thumbs up. So, Abigail LeMay, what did you make of Benjamin William Pike's Someone Else's Tears?
I thought I had a really good tune. And a good rhythm, and it was nice to hear a bit of a country twang in there in the background. It just was kind of reminded me of home, so it was nice.
Well, that's the Canadian market cracks then, Ben. So, you know, we can work on that sort of basis. So, open that. So, I think it's a winner then. I mean, otherwise, you'd sort of say thumbs up for yourself.
Yeah, definitely.
Excellent. So where do you go to now then, Ben? Is it a case of the tour, the merchandise, the rest of the bits and pieces? What will you be doing? Or will it be a case of finding random places with nice gardens to do your next set of videos?
Yeah, a bit of both, hopefully. Yes, I wouldn't mind doing a few videos in some nice gardens again. That would be great. I'm just sort of confirming a load of gigs for this year. So there's a few currently up on the website. Right now, I'm coming to Lincoln actually twice this year at the minute, I'm sort of just putting new gigs up all the time. So,
well, you dropped that in as a nice little bombshell. Coming to Lincoln not once but twice. And where? Where will you be performing?
So the first time will be Saturday, the 23rd of February, and that's at Grafton House, which I believe is also called the Lincoln Labour Club, although you might be able to confirm or deny it.
Is that right, Ben?
Round the back of the Odeon.
Round the back of the Odeon for the locals.
Back.
Exactly.
Right, okay. Brilliant, yeah. I've never been there myself yet, so yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
It could be the title of your next album, Round the Back of the Odeon.
Yeah, it could be. I'm stuck. I might use that one. But that's an event called In Other Words, which is a fundraising night for a documentary, and there's going to be spoken word and some loads of artwork there and stuff. So it looks like it's going to be a really good night.
Excellent. So that's the 23rd of February, and the next one.
And then after that, I'll be back on the 18th of March, which is a Monday, and I'll be at the Guildhall.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah.
In the city of Lincoln,
yeah, to be precise.
City centre. Yeah, exactly. I've actually played that one before, and it was really nice, really sort of intimate, acoustic and roots night. So really looking forward to coming back to that one.
What do you think, guys? Should we try and have a little trip there to see Ben on one of those production tour pieces?
That's on my birthday.
Wow.
21st birthday.
You could dedicate the 18th of March just to Bethany Gulliver. There we are. And I noticed, Benjamin, on your website you have born in January. Do we get a date, or is it just a case of just random January?
Born in January. Is that on my website?
Yeah, well, certainly on the Facebook page, in terms of the details we were actually looking for here, we have born in January. Oh, we have a year. I won't spell the year. But we don't have a date. We just have born in January in this particular year.
Oh, well, okay.
1882, in case you're wondering.
1882, yeah. It's the 25th of January, so it's 2 days.
To be precise, as we've just found out, Robbie Burns night.
Yes, now, that's right,
Is this spooky or is this spooky? You've got one of Scotland's finest poets having the opportunity to share the same birthday as Benjamin William Pike. Fantastic. It's opened up a whole range of things about part of you. How can people get in touch with you, Ben? Is it through the usual socials, the independent world of Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all the other sort of aspects?
Yeah, you're exactly right. Yeah, all of those mentioned. And my website is bwpike.com. But all the information you need to listen to anything or get in touch is can be found from any of those social media sites.
And clearly for Star Trek fans, we have to ask the question, any relation to Christopher Pike, the former captain of the Starship Enterprise in about 200 years' time, so he could be your great-great-grandson?
Not that I know of. Yeah.
It's important.
Of course you would ask that.
It's called future-proofing.
No one else would ask that.
Christopher Pike, Benjamin Pike. It's obviously a connection there.
Well, I was pushing with Pike on Dad's Army.
I was thinking about Pike as well. That was the Pike.
There is indeed. Pike. Exactly. Precisely. It just opens up so many routines. Have you enjoyed your production on the show today? Has it been good for you, Ben?
This has been, wonderful. Thank you, everyone, yeah.
Well, then, we look forward to seeing you, hopefully, when you're in Lincoln on either the 23rd of February or Bethany's birthday. That would be the 18th of March.
Yeah.
half of ill, big in Japan. It's coming around to 15 minutes to 6 o'clock, and Siren News will be back, I'm sure, next week. It's just the excitement of life, the universe, and various other bits and pieces. We'll be speaking to Chloe Baker in a few minutes. Chloe is from a wonderful part of the British Isles called Norwich, beautiful, which is one of those areas a bit like Leicestershire that cousins from the colonies sometimes have challenges with in terms of what, where, what's it all about. But anyway, that will be happening very shortly. Eva, are you gearing up for your return to Hull?
I am, just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So you start off the entertaining thing in what, a month from now? 2 months?
I think it's just under two months.
Just under 2 months?
I think.
Have you received the briefing yet? What the citizens of Hull are expecting from you and so on?
No, I've not received that yet.
All right.
I don't think you get it for another half a month, probably a few weeks yet.
Exactly. So this was a great set. It's very exciting as we sort of follow Eva's little route and time for that. Because you were quite excited when we did say Chloe Baker was back on the show. Because you remember her.
I do remember the Chloe.
Yeah, exactly.
I think she was the first one.
One of your first midweek driver that you actually encountered.
I did.
You never forget your first midweek driver.
Back
really.
In the days.
It's wonderful. Anyway, she's currently walking home. And when spoke to her, she was literally 2 minutes, she said, quite literally 2 minutes away from our hole. So what I've actually just been doing is just filling for a wee while. We've also got Arthur Weingarten coming up from San Diego shortly. Sarah Bullimore talking about the 2019 Newark Book Festival. Yes, it's happening again. Hurrah. And Taryn Kay will be back with us with or without her no-nos. Graham Harper's joining us as well. Time for the art. I say again, the art of noise.
Thank you. breathe my love close to the edge.
Oh, now that's postmodern music making. From the album Zang Tom Tum, Art of Noise, close to the edit. It's Siren Radio, and yes, we can say that Eva MacDonald, excitement has arrived because you can remember your first midweek driver. First midweek driver you ever met, I believe.
I know.
And who might that be?
It must be Chloe Baker.
Chloe Baker from Norwich. How are you, Chloe?
I'm very good. How are you?
Very good. A graduate, of course, from the University of Lincoln, where you actually scored very highly in the American Studies degree that was actually there. And currently, you're in that joy of Norwich, where you're doing what exactly?
I'm doing marketing. Does that say in Southwold?
Oh, very good.
I don't know if you've heard of it.
We have heard of Southwold. It's very important. And I suspect in Canada, Southwold will be as strange as Norwich in many ways. That's Abigail LeMay, who, bless her heart, Abigail, you thought Norwich was actually pronounced...
I said it was Norwich.
Norwich.
There's a W in it.
Of course. And why, Chloe, why do you not actually set the campaign to actually say it should be Norwich and not Norwich? Yeah, exactly. Stumped on that sort of line, completely stumped on that basis. Anyway, Eva, since, of course, you met Chloe, you became Miss Lincolnshire, Miss Teenage Lincolnshire, you've been doing all sorts of other bits and pieces. I mean, basically, it's thanks to Chloe Baker, you're the woman you are today, basically. Anything?
You're an inspiration.
You're welcome.
Oh, no.
How are you? How are you doing?
I'm all right, thank you. It's like a telephone call, isn't it?
Strange that she's on the phone, on the right, just like a telephone call. Genius.
Oh, like, what kind of things have you been up to?
So, obviously marketing. I started at a zoo.
Oh.
A Bannum Zoo.
What, working there?
Yeah, doing the marketing for the zoo.
Oh, cool.
After being there for a little while, I then got an internship with Suffolk Secrets, which are holiday costumes, which eventually turned into a full-time job, which is where I am now.
Is that a Monday to Friday position?
It is. Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. I'm like a proper adult now.
I know. Wow.
you see, Bethany, you too can look forward to when you graduate in a few months' time becoming a proper adult correspondent. It's great, you know. Likewise, Eloise, you know, proper adult. So all the rest of it's in pieces.
Welcome to the adult world.
Horrible. Ben as well, of course. So, I mean, Chloe, I've got to ask the question, what advice would you give to Ben and to Eloise and to Bethany about
this?
And Abigail, although Abigail, it's not your final year, is it? Or you go back to Canada to have another, because you're in an exchange.
I do go back to Canada in April.
Well, Chloe actually spent some wonderful time on an exchange program. Which part of America did you spend your exchange part of your program on?
I was in the lovely Montana.
Montana.
Not too far from Canada.
Exactly. But far enough in many ways, you know,
yes,
sort of Montana.
So far. I've actually been invited back to a wedding there in September.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so a girl I met while I was there, who was also studying at Montana State, is getting married, and I've been invited back, which is really cool.
That's exciting. That's what I'm excited about, is making friends over here and then going to their weddings.
Oh, it's amazing. I've got friends all over the world now, which is really cool.
That's because you're an international jet-setting individual. It's an important thing. So, as we said, Bethany, any questions you'd like to put to Chloe about what life was like when she sat in this very studio back in the day? Was it 2014, 2015?
Yeah, I graduated in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like transitioning from, like, a uni student to actually working and adulting?
Well, it's really nice having money.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
I don't think I could go back, like, as good as it was, I couldn't go back to student life now, like, living in student houses and having a student income was fun, but I couldn't do it now. But just enjoy it while you've got it, because it really is the best experience ever. And life's just so, I mean, life seems hard when you've got essays and stuff to do, but if you compare it to adult life, it's just it's just the best. And you're surrounded by your friends, and you're in a, like, Lincoln's really cool, so... Yeah, just enjoy it while you've got it, really.
And look, you can actually see Chloe there together with Eva, with Sarah Bournemouth back in the day, back in that wonderful June the 17th,
2015.
I look so young in that.
It's a baby.
I've got such a baby face.
It was a lifetime ago, Eva, in so many ways.
Since then,
you've done lots of Midweek Drive reports. Age is one, you know. So, I mean, look, many people don't realise I'm just 23, but there we are. So it goes. Ben, any questions you'd like to put to the Chloe Mistress?
So compared to your time at university, and to what you are at now, is there anything, if you went back to university time, you'd change, or you'd perhaps you want to do instead, or want to do as a result of being in the adult world now?
What would I change? I think that I would have possibly looked into doing more work experience while I had the free time. So, obviously, while you're a student, you do have a lot of like holiday in the summer and that kind of thing. And I did work. I did work in like a hotel, but I think I would have looked for more sort of experience opportunities.
Seize the day. That's been boring.
Seize the day.
Seize the opportunity.
Get as much learning as you can under your belt, really.
Because learning is good. Use that as a strapline, really. Wherever you're from, it's home. That's the University of Lincoln. Learning is good. Eloise. What would you have in terms of questions for Chloe? Could be a whole new feature we could open up with, basically.
How long did it take you to like transition from ending uni to starting living like in a new place again? Was it quite stressful? Or
as in like my own place kind of thing?
Yeah. Did you go like home afterwards, or did you?
I did go home.
Back in April the 8th, 2015, with Sue Rice there, you can see Chloe wearing her bomber jacket. That was when she went through her rock chick for a phase, yeah, clearly.
Well, sort of still time. In that phase, Alex.
Are you really?
Phase.
Seriously? Oh. Well, there you go.
I'd say moving back home is quite difficult because, obviously, you've not had your parents telling you what to do and asking where you are for the last 3 years. But it's a very good way of saving. So, again, make the most of it while you don't have to pay bills. Because they're rubbish.
Bills are rubbish, once again. This is why I like...
Not people named Bill, just to clarify.
Very true. This is why I was always impressed in Chloe's seminars. She'd actually come up with those, you know, sit very quietly, and then she'd actually come up with those, that lightning, laser-like sort of thing. Like, bills are rubbish.
Wise words. Exactly. Graduate.
So, Chloe, I gather you were back in Lincoln a few weeks ago, didn't come and see us, but were quite surprised at how the university has changed in the 4 years since you left.
Oh, yeah, I came back, it was last March for a kind of reunion weekend, and I couldn't believe how many new buildings there were. It's like Lincoln's doubled in size. And there was all different restaurants and bars and all sorts of things going on, which is quite nice, really.
Well, that just shows the fun that Lincoln can bring to the world.
And also, I came up that weekend where there was that freak snow storm in March.
Oh, the one last year.
Yeah.
Weird.
And I got stuck because I couldn't drive home.
Oh, no. You wouldn't have got stuck in the snow yesterday. There was hardly any.
Hardly any at all.
But yeah. That was the weekend we chose, which was great.
Compared to Canada, probably a lot less, really. And, Chloe, what advice would you give to...
I'm saying that to a Canadian.
What would you say to Abigail in terms of why it would be worth adding the city of Norwich to her CV when she actually sort of thinks of things to go and see?
Things to go and see. Norwich is lovely. There's lots of really good like independent coffee shops and restaurants, and there's an independent cinema which is really quirky, and it's just a really nice place, really. It's quite I'd say hipster. I don't know if there's lots of like hipster. There's lots of like vegan cafes and plant shops and all that kind of thing going on, which is quite nice.
Does that sell it to you, Abigail?
I might just put it on my list of places to go.
There's a really nice castle too, and what else is there in Norwich? Oh, you can go pub paddling. So you can hire rowing boats and row from pub to pub on the river.
It's a pub crawl with boats instead.
Yeah, cool. But it sounds really dangerous when I actually say it out loud.
hub paddling. Who would have thought it? Still, that's just some of the magic Chloe's brought to the programme. Okay, let's see. Let's go to Bethany. Put those last two questions to Chloe Baker, please.
Have you had an interesting telephonic link with us today?
Oh, I remember these questions. yes, I have. Thank you very much.
It's weird hearing them instead of saying them.
Yeah, it is. And, nostalgic.
Would you join us again, please, at some point?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I see Chloe Baker, she will return. Hurrah, hurrah, and triple hurrah. It's all good.
Thank you very much for having me.
Life's a balloon that tumbles or rises depending on what is inside. Fill it with hope and playful surprises, and how dearie ducks, then you're in for a ride. Look inside the balloon, and if you hear a tune, there's nowhere to go but up. Choose the secret we know before life makes us grow. There's nowhere to go but up. If your selection feels right, well then, dearie, hold tight. If you see your reflection, your heart will take flight. If you pick the right string, then your heart will take wing. And there's nowhere to go but up.
With a shining new toy, and there's nowhere to go but up.
Michael!
Just one day at the fair has me waltzing on air, and there's nowhere to go but up.
Jane, I remember. It's all true. Every impossible thing we imagined with Mary Poppins, it all happened.
Now my heart is so light that I think I just might start feeding the birds and then go fly a kite with your head in a cloud. Only laughter's allowed, and there's nowhere to go but up. Bobbing and weaving all comes from believing
the magic inside the balloon.
The past is the past, it lives on as history. That's an important thing. The future comes fast, each second a mystery. For nobody knows what tomorrow may bring.
This one looks like you.
How do you know?
Don't you lose her, son!
I won't, sir!
Up here in the blue, it's a marvellous view.
Side by side, it's the best way to fly. Once I just looked above, but now I am part of the lovely London sky.
Would you like to try one yourself, sir?
Give it a go.
Choose carefully. Well, nowhere to go but up.
When the clouds make a muss, when I won't make a fuss, but I'll polish the stars.
Better let us
give a lift to a foe, for you reap what you sow,
and there's nowhere to go but up.
I've set sail!
Chart a course, Mr. Binnacle!
That I will, sir!
I'm
Of course, the grown-ups will all forget by tomorrow.
They always do.
Only one balloon left, Mary Poppins. I think it must be yours.
Yes, I suppose it must. Practically perfect in every way.
Angela Lansbury and the full cast of the Mary Poppins Returns epic. And yes, tragically, even though Julie Andrews won an Oscar for her incarnation of Mary Poppins, not even a nomination for Emily Blunt. Arthur Weingarten, what's going wrong with the Academy Awards?
I don't know. I have to say, though, both Annette and I are appalled that Roma has gotten the accolades that it has and that it's got 10 nominations or thereabouts and all that.
Well, best picture.
Did you see it? Have you seen it?
I haven't as yet, but it does seem to be sort of coming out of the unknown. I mean, you've got The Favourite, which I thought was one of my choices. The Black Panther won't do anything. Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, Green Book, A Star is Born, and Vice being the nominations. Interesting, A Star is Born, although nominated for Best Picture, Best Director Bradley Cooper doesn't get a name check in that either. So Best Director goes to...
Yes.
Alfonso Cuarón, Spike Lee. I mean, bottom line is, Arthur, have you been approached by the Academy to host the awards?
No, and as a matter of fact, I don't even have a seat.
Wow.
So there you are.
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid the Academy Awards will just not be worth watching this year. It's just ridiculous from that point of view. In terms of the actual sequence, and we'll be talking about this with Phil Leonis and Richard Fitzwilliams tomorrow, or I should say Richard and Phil will be talking about it, the rest of us will probably go and have a coffee. Sorry, guys, but you can just go on in all sorts of ways. But is it something which, as a Hollywood writer and a screenwriter, et cetera, we've talked in the past about, obviously, you're impressed with the Sherman Brothers and so on, that you think, actually, the Academy Awards are great, or is it just a case of it's a backslapping party for the industry?
Yeah, I think it has become the latter. You know, when it first started, it was in a theater, which still exists, the Paramount Theater on Hollywood Boulevard, and it was just for industry people, and it wasn't broadcast or anything like that, as all the awards were, all those things. And so it was a pat on the back for everybody who was in the industry, and that was maybe 200 to 300 people attended it. And now it's become the Super Bowl, the Rose Parade, this and that. And, they fight for existence in today's world where motion picture is now fighting Netflix and Amazon.
Well, the bottom line is, Arthur, it's FANG. You know, you've got Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google. It's like a quadruple whammy.
So, you know, the screen has been squeezed to the size of a handheld telephone, and that's the last that it is a telephone. It's a broadcast, a receiver for broadcasts. So I think the Academy Awards now has lost anything but... something for people to talk about here and there, but it doesn't carry any validity within the business because they know now how manipulated it is. It's really quite something.
Okay, well, let's do a round robin with the fantastic quintet of quality we've got in the studio. Ben Lewis, will you be checking out the Academy Awards, or is it a case of, no, I'm not interested at all?
I won't be probably watching it, if I'm honest, because I'm not particularly interested in Hollywood Movie Awards
finding
myself.
Finding out whether Isle of Dogs or Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse wins Best Animated Feature.
Well, I'm sure we'll find out, because I enjoy it anyway, especially when Richard speaks about it as well, which I'm sure he will tomorrow morning, but... Yeah, I think in general, for me, award shows, I don't mind them, but...
there are lots of them, let's face it.
Yeah, I think it's a bit much.
National Television
Awards
last night.
I always wonder if there's stuff going on in the background behind the awards, because some films get awards that I don't feel really deserve them, and vice versa.
Eva MacDonald.
I like to keep up with Academy Awards sometimes. I looked up a bit about the NTAs yesterday. Didn't get to watch the whole thing.
Do you think Ant and Dec deserve to have an award?
Oh, this
after
is
the year they've had.
Everybody's been talking about this. It's a bit of a debatable topic.
I mean, I don't think we'll be talking about Anton Deck in San Diego somehow.
No, I mean, personally, I would have said no, but I don't really like to raise it.
Like Laurel and Hardy, let's face it.
It's a bit of a debatable thing at the moment.
Bethany, awards.
Oh, I never used to really be into sort of the Oscars and things, but my housemate Jessie, she's very into films, so it will definitely be on this year. We watched it last year as well. So I quite like them. I know there's lots of politics behind it.
And the dresses,
I don't really
of course.
Like that. But yeah, exactly.
Abigail.
It's good to watch.
Awards. Do you check out the Oscars?
Love awards. I love them. But they last so long. They just go it's on true. Forever.
There we have it, Arthur, the words of a Canadian citizen. She loves awards, but they go on for far too long.
Just so long. I wish they would just get to the point a little bit faster.
And give out all the awards on the spot.
I suppose it's building up the anticipation, really. And I mean, I suspect this might be a done deal, as you're a scholar of film and television, because that's the degree that you're actually doing, Eloise, but are you interested at all in the Academy Awards, or is it a case of whatever?
It depends. This year I am, because one of the nominees for Best Actor being Richard E. Grant. I really hope he wins. I think he's fantastic. And
don't think he will, somehow.
Oh, don't say that.
No, I'm just Best Supporting Actor, Richard E. Grant for Can You Forgive Me? I have a feeling that's going to go to Green Book's Mahershala Ali, with the possibility of Adam Driver and Black Klansman. I don't honestly think Richard E. Grant has a prayer. I'm sorry, but you know.
He has my prayer.
Well, that's true. That is true from that point of view.
You know, Alex, can I interject here for a second?
Of course.
You mentioned the Green Book. I haven't seen that yet. We haven't seen it. We want to. But I'm wondering if you and those in your studio were aware of the subject matter of that film and what do they think? That a situation such as that existed in this country.
Share with us, Arthur. I suspect we need to actually find out more about Green Book, please.
There was a book, a magazine called The Green Book. It was published from around 1930 into the early 1960s, and it was for a black market who used the automobile and the American highways to get to places that everybody would get to, except for them. If they had to spend a night in a hotel or a motel, they were limited to colored only. And this film is about a virtuoso piano player, jazz, but he had started out to be classical, but because he was black, he had no ability to pursue that career. So he became a jazz fellow, and he was booked all over the country and played to white audiences, but at night he had to find a place that would accept blacks to let him sleep. And so he thought, well, you know what I'll do? I'll get a white driver of my car, and he can book the rooms for me, and we'll see what happens. And that's the basis of the story. But at the bottom is the truth. There was a magazine came out monthly that updated all the places blacks could stay and gave warnings as to the towns, cities, and highway areas that blacks should avoid because of the segregation laws. And I was just wondering what the opinion would be.
Well, we've been looking at the trailer as you've been speaking, and when Tony Lip, played by Viggo Mortensen, a bouncer from an Italian-American neighbourhood in the Bronx, is hired to drive Don Shirley, played by Mahershala Ali, a world-class black pianist on a concert tour from Manhattan to the Deep South, they must rely on the Green Book to guide them to the few establishments that were then safe for African Americans. Confronted with racism, danger, as well as unexpected humanity and humour, they are forced to eat, to set aside differences to survive and thrive on the journey of a lifetime. Let's turn to the team. Bethany, any thoughts from yourself? Green Book?
Well, I think it sounds like a really good film. I think it's obviously awful that ever happened, but I think to ignore it is to neglect that it did ever happen, that was ever the case. So I think it's really good that a film like this is raising awareness of that sort of thing, and I think I definitely want to watch it. Yeah, it sounds really, really good.
Oh, okay. Ben, Green Book?
Yeah, unfortunately I missed the trailer, so I had to go and find some new headphones. But yeah, no, I caught the end of it, and it does sound like a really interesting film. I'd certainly be interested in watching it. And like you say, it highlights some of the key issues of America's past. Mm. Not just America, really, but globally there were a few issues. But yeah, it was certainly very interesting, and I'd really be interested in watching it.
Eloise.
Yeah, I've seen the trailer quite a few times now. I think it's important that it's been made to bring awareness, because I was of people that don't quite understand.
Or couldn't appreciate that such a thing ever could possibly occur. Abigail.
I'm going to have to agree with everyone else. I think it is really good to take a look back and look at where we are now and just kind of appreciate that we've come a long way and that we still have a long way to go.
Sage words, as I expect from a Canadian, actually. Very good. Come a long way, still got a long way to go. Eva?
Yeah, see, I'm not much of a political person, but with films like this, I do like to watch them and take note of them, just because they are interesting. They do touch on topics that are quite sensitive. But no, it looks like a good film. I think I'd give it a watch at some point. Yeah, definitely.
So I don't know, Arthur, if that's kind of set the scene from that point of view to find out what the next generation are thinking about before we even consider your views on a 97-year-old driver crashing into a situation in Norwich, which I was going to put to actually speak to Chloe earlier. But it's nice to see that he got his car back, or literally his Range Rover the day after.
Yeah.
Did you get the news over there that on eBay, people had raced to the scene and picked up the debris from the car, and they were selling it for the equivalent of $85,000 a piece, like the rim of a headlight and things like that?
Well, of course, you never know, because you could have actually had some of the Duke of Edinburgh's DNA there, and you could probably clone another Prince Philip.
Right. So heaven forbid. No, not another one.
It's when they realise that when someone's bought it for that amount of money, stupidly, they bought it and they didn't realise it was the other car and not his car.
Always problematic. Still, it's nice to know that at 97, the Duke of Edinburgh is still an inspiration to us all. That's the important thing.
Right.
So, again, we've had quite a breadth of topic to actually go through, and still to come, we'll be talking to Sarah Bullimore and Taryn Kay. I'm going to actually ask Abigail, in your wonderful Canadian way, which part of Canada, of course, remind us it's from?
Ontario,
to actually question our New York-born but now San Diego-dwelling and genius that actually is Arthur Weingarten, those last two questions. Off we go.
All right. Have you had a reasonably good telephonic link with us today?
I absolutely have.
Wonderful.
My
and will
Canadian
you be joining us?
Neighbor.
Sorry?
Yes.
Canadian neighbor. I feel as though we're bonding here.
Neighbor, yes. That's right.
The maple leaf of friendship has been metaphorically passed through the city of Lincoln, England, across the actual airwaves.
Spreading all the Canadianness.
And the next question is?
The next question is, will you be joining us again?
I certainly hope so.
Perfect.
Hurrah! And Annette Andre is back with us next week. Even more double hurrahs. Sensational.
Sometimes, Eva, I feel as though the whole show kind of revolves around yourself in many ways. I mean, we had a chance to speak to Chloe Baker a few moments ago, thriving in Norwich. And who's online now? Only the person who introduced you to the whole Midweek Drive in the first place.
Sarah Bullimore.
Whoa, Sarah Bullimore. Did you expect to be speaking to Eva MacDonald in the studio?
No.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello,
Sarah.
Hello, Eva.
Hello.
And we have Ben Lewis.
Hello.
And we have Eloise Sheehan.
Hi.
And we have Bethany Gulliver.
Hello.
And we have Abigail LeMay.
Hi. Hello.
Now,
you're
Abigail,
a full house.
Abigail, question for your good self. When do you head back to Canada?
I head back to Canada April 30th.
Oh, no.
Oh, too soon.
I know, it's true, really. It's too soon.
12th to the 14th of July. The Newark Book Festival is happening again. The Book Festival is back. Talk to us about this awesome 29 package where, I mean, hopefully you'll be able to join us, Bethany, to actually see books in Newark and more.
Did you say, sorry?
This is the joys of the 12th to the 14th of July.
Oh, I am travelling.
She'll be travelling.
You might be able to join us via the digital wave, hopefully.
The digital wave. Eva, you'll be in Hull.
I will be, but, you know, it's where everything first started, Alex, so I can always join digitally.
Exactly.
I can always try.
Ben?
I'm thinking where I'll be.
Exactly, yeah. Philosophically, metaphorically.
It's a long time away to think
geographically
about.
And so on. Eloise?
I have no idea.
Hammersmith, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I'll probably be there for a bit of the time anyway. Why is this the absolutely amazing thing in which Sarah Bullimore, that would be you, artistic director, said, "We are delighted to be working with a host of beautiful venues across the town again for 2019 and look forward to welcoming on board St. Mary Magdalene Church as a new venue. Also pleased to announce that we'll be launching our first schools programme for 2019.
Yay.
So it's all happening. Please tell us why the Newark Book Festival, if you're anywhere in the country of England, or Scotland, or Ireland, or Wales,
Canada.
Or Canada.
Anywhere abroad. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's a must attend.
Yes, we're back. We're back for the third year of the festival. And we're going to be expanding slightly. So it's running from the Friday across to the Sunday. And as I said, we're absolutely delighted this year because we are working with the district council and we're launching our first schools programme. So we've currently got all our primary schools signed up. We're going to do a programme working with them in the lead up to the festival.
And look, we even have media supporters there, our very own station, together with Radio Newark. Admittedly, it's the old logo, but what the heck? Yeah, it's nice from that point of view. And a whole heap of other goodies. Yes, it's all
absolutely
fine.
Yeah, so our theme this year is going to be Home and Away. So we are going on a trip around the world. So we're going to be having an absolutely action-packed weekend, probably about 60 to 70 events. And we'll have everything. We'll have author panels, we'll have headliner events. We've got a flavour of lots of home and Nottinghamshire literacy and heritage tales to tell. We've got panels. We're going to be discussing literary fiction, some crime genre, some historical fiction. We've got events for secondary schools, and we'll have lots of street theatre and crafts workshops, family workshops, adult writing workshops, you name it, it's going to be happening.
Around the world in 80 books.
Yep, absolutely. Let's see if we can programme 80.
And a celebration of all things home and Nottinghamshire.
Absolutely, yes. And we're really looking forward to kind of doing lots of celebrations and uncovering lots. And one of those things is working with all those different venues as well, because we're uncovering all the beautiful hidden gems and spaces in Europe, which are absolutely amazing.
Abigail, Nottinghamshire. How was your pronunciation of that? Because after Norwich, what was Nottinghamshire like as a Canadian?
Well, I can pronounce it now because all of my English friends have taught me how.
They forced you.
Originally, I had asked if it was pronounced Nottingham because that's how it's spelt. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a Nottingham.
Nottingham, yeah.
Better to start on Newcastle upon Tyne, otherwise that's a different
Newark.
I would say Newark. Maybe.
And not Newark, New Jersey, but Newark on Trent,
yes,
Nottinghamshire.
This is correct.
Just in case people actually there. So, what are you most looking forward to, Sarah Bullimore, as artistic director of the Newark Book Festival between the 12th and the 14th of July?
Well, we have some... We're obviously awaiting to drop all our headliners in at the moment. Mm-hmm. So I can't reveal any names at the moment, but some of those are looking really, really exciting. So it's just going to be a really big programme with lots of fantastic corporate events, both at the Palace Theatre in Newark, who we're working with to launch the festival, and also the beautiful Georgian Ballroom in the Newark Town Hall as well. So we're expanding out quite a bit this year, as we do, and adding lots more exciting things.
Global domination just literally a few months away.
Yeah, absolutely.
Eva, go for it. Last two questions for Sarah, please.
Oh, Sarah, have you had an interesting and reminiscing telephonic link today?
Interesting and reminiscing. Nice riff there.
I have indeed, thank you.
Oh, fantastic. And hopefully, will we be hearing again from you soon?
Yes, absolutely, and hopefully seeing you.
I know. We'll have to catch up at some point.
Yeah, we'll get Sarah and most people to speak to your people, Eva, and somewhere between the whole thing, I'm sure we'll get something sorted
out. Of course.
Lovely.
And I, Fleetwood Mac, 2017. Yeah, we'll play that again tomorrow morning, perhaps, for the Madrid Drive Morning Edition, which is between 8 a.m. and 10 a.m, of course, on Siren Radio. Online now, the welcome return of Taryn Kay. How are you, Taryn?
I'm very well, thank you.
When last we spoke, a matter of weeks ago, actually, technically a fortnight, we were well into the no-nos.
All that hair removal.
Exactly. You know, we have become her sweetless. Exactly. Very important. Ben's still with us, so is Eva McDonald, but we've been joined by three fabulous individuals. The return of Abigail Lemay.
Hi.
Lovely.
From Canada with a broken hand as well, because she had a skiing accident. I know.
It's awesome.
Thanks,
my new character trait.
Action and adventure. That's the important thing. Actually, what were you doing last week? Because I know, Abigail, we talked about you possibly doing a live link from Canada, and you thought you might have been working at that stage. What were you doing 168 hours ago?
As interesting as I am, I was working at the bank, my 9-to-5 job back home. So that's what I was doing, and then for Thursday morning, I'd still be asleep because it would have been 3 a.m.
That's very true. That's very true. Now, working at the bank in Canada, I mean, obviously we're not looking for any secrets here, but are you on the tills? Are you actually behind the scenes? What's the sort of... Are you security? Is it a case of, you know, any armed robbers should come in? You know, I don't know.
I actually work in the call center, so when people, like, forget their passwords to their online banking or... have issues, they'll give us a call at the call center, and then they get to pick up. And
so you get all their passwords, which you can harvest, and then actually sort of use to actually fund the call. Yeah, yeah.
You laugh at their passwords, how funny they are.
Very strange. And do people actually still use password as a password?
Oh, well, you know what? I wouldn't really know. Oh. I actually can't see their passwords. I just give them new passwords to create their own passwords.
Of course.
So, luckily.
These Canadians, they've got everything sus, haven't they? Really? Yeah, there was I thinking we might have a nice little learner there to actually sort of tap in the whole thing, but no, clearly it's gone. Have you ever been to Canada, Taryn?
Only on a day trip to Montreal. It was a day trip when I was in New York. It wasn't
I was going to say a day trip.
Yeah. You know, you're going to check things out, and you're a global superstar like Taryn Kay. You'll have a day trip to Montreal. That's it, really. I mean, was it such a traumatic experience you've said never again? You know, I'm never going to go back?
Do you know what? I don't remember a lot except some funny-shaped houses and flats where we went. That's all I remember. I'm going back probably 40 years or something, so...
Funny-shaped houses and flats.
Or flats, yes, weird.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Oh, well, never mind. Yeah. we also have the joys of Eloise Sheehan. Eloise, any thoughts or questions for Taryn, who effectively, I mean, you can look, I mean, doubtless you've done the research. You've checked out tarynk.co.uk and found out all sorts of wonderful things.
I went on there briefly.
Yes.
And then my internet went down.
Oh, no.
So.
Oh, no.
Do you just hate it when that happens, Taryn? You know, it's, you know, next Eloise will be so she has to actually physically go to the library and get books out and things.
Oh, no.
Yes, yeah. Internet goes down. Never mind. But connecting with the bank thing, what was your role as Esther, senior manager for the Standard Chartered Bank Unconscious Bias video?
Oh, well, I was just a bit of... I was just a CEO.
Mm-hmm. Just a CEO.
And I was going on about this woman who was pregnant and having a baby. Uh-huh. And I said, we won't put her up. We won't, you know, put her in this position because she'd be too busy with her baby. So I was being quite biased about women that are having babies. So that was that was what it was about.
Right. And once you actually done that, was it coming? Did you see any reaction? Or was it a case of, no, once the video's in the can... It's entirely up to the users of the video how much of their consciousness has been raised.
That's right. They sort of ask, they get the people in the bank to watch it and ask questions, you know, as to if I was biased, etc. Yeah. But I haven't seen it. I haven't seen the footage. I haven't even been paid, actually. It's just your mom. I know, shush. But, yeah.
She's Taryn Kay. She doesn't work for Nout. You know, that's the bottom line.
I mean, trouble with the transfer from Singapore, so I was told yesterday. But hey-ho, it'll get there eventually.
Yeah, Abigail, did you ever use that excuse? Oh, I'm sorry, madam. It's just a transfer from Singapore.
No, I have not.
No.
You see.
Yeah. I mean, we could go on to talk about your role as a dog walker in the You Move ITV for the Love of Dog sponsorship side of things. That looks extraordinary.
Yes.
2018, last year. Bethany, thoughts from yourself?
Hello. I noticed you've done some theatre work as well as that sort of TV thing. Which did you prefer? Because obviously they're so different.
Oh, well, I much prefer film and TV these days. I used to do lots of theatre. I'm going back quite a bit. But I prefer just to do... I like to be intimate with a camera, you know, rather than lots of people. I like the intimacy of the camera, you know.
Hold yourself together, Ben, honestly. It's not a double entendre there. You know, please.
I don't
quite. Yeah, release.
That's when you first met, though, wasn't it? In the theatre?
Well, Princess Marigold. She is and always remain the ultimate Princess Marigold. No gloves, of course.
Of course it could, because nobody's asked me to do any good theatre as well. That might be something to do with it as well. But
you never know. That's the important
thing.
Yes. Yeah. Interesting that you were the narrator for the All About Cats DVD in 2009.
Oh, that was blimey, you're going back now. Mm. Yes, 2009. Yes, I was, yes. Yeah. And it was to help out Cats Protection League as well. Yes, I just talked about lots of cats, that was it.
And another one which caught my interest, obviously, from the year of the Olympics, 2012, an obsessed cheerleader in Agile Films' Simian Mobile Disco, Seraphim. So an obsessed cheerleader. Was that somebody who could not control their pom-poms? Was it,
No, with my lipstick. I was very odd. I went to the mirror and put my lipstick all over my face. Don't ask. I've not sure what this pop video is about. very weird, very weird.
Eva, when you're in Hull, if anybody actually put your lipstick all over their mirror and their face, don't do it.
I'll try not to. No. Although I do get a lot of children and parents coming up to me saying, "You've got lipstick on your teeth, Eva."
Like, I get that problem sometimes.
Yeah. I know, it's very relatable.
Yes,
Bethany, lipstick on your teeth, is it something which keeps you awake at night?
Not a lot, I've got to say. It's not one of my key problems at the moment.
Theresa May, obviously, listening to this. It's all right. You'll hear Bethany when she speaks into the microphone more, as opposed to the other. That's fine. That's okay. The line about lipstick on her teeth, that could be a real deal breaker, I would have thought, really. Diane Abbott obviously found that as well. Oh, well. Now, Terry, you have worked, obviously, with Graham Harper. You've co-hosted before. Yeah. I mean, what should you actually prep the team for in terms of Graham, who joins us in a few moments from now?
Is he doing any producing, and does he want a 50s-plus female blonde from Essex in one of his...
See, that's what you call never be afraid to actually have that Essex gal put it forward for the whole thing. Put it out there, my girl. Put it out there.
That's it.
Exactly. It's fantastic. Yeah. I can only raise the question, and I'll do it obviously on your behalf, Taryn, because that's what we actually like to go for.
Lovely.
Ben from Brighton, would you like to put those last two questions to Taryn from Essex?
Alex Smith from Middlesbrough, yes, I will.
Taryn. From Brighton,
Go on. Yeah, have you enjoyed your tenfold Olympus today?
Yes, I have, very much so, thank you.
Wonderful, I'm glad to hear. And will you be joining us again sometime soon?
Yes, of course, I've got nothing else going on.
Whoa.
Wait, just wait until we have this call with Graham.
Yeah. Jonathan Lindsay last week was much more upbeat and positive about the whole thing. That's because it was his birthday the day after, so you know, it's all there.
Oh, bless him.
I take it you haven't listened to that show either, Taryn. I don't know. You put the stuff out there. Just, I suppose it's enough to know I'm still alive. Oh, well.
See ya.
Richard Fitzwilliams is certainly very active tonight. He's given me the links to his CNN commentary, a live commentary on a whole range of things there. And indeed, he's got his predictions all set for tomorrow. Well, hopefully we'll have Richard Fitzwilliams and Phil Lynas connecting with their predictions for the Academy Awards. One day, Graham Harper, you will be there as best director. No, you won't, because obviously you've dropped off the line from that point of view. He's still there. You build that whole sequence for him, and suddenly he's gone completely. Honestly, sometimes you think, what's going on with respect to life, the universe, and various other bits and pieces as well? Ben, what exciting things can Signet PR look to be involved with as the University of Lincoln's very own sort of PR agency? It's
a very random twist, isn't it, to the show?
Yeah, you notice that, exactly.
Yeah, but... No.
Shameless publicity now. Your chance.
Well, I'll first explain to people what Signet PR is. So it's a PR agency run by students in the university. And essentially, we help local charities with free PR in return for work experience for students. And we don't charge anything. It's free. And we take people on a case-by-case basis. And essentially, if you've got a project or an event, anything like that, we'll help out with. Now, I know...
That's all right, I'm just...
It's like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, isn't it?
We're phoning a friend, and that friend is Graham Harper. How are you, Graham? Where are you, Graham?
I'm in my bedroom.
Well, you know, we tried his landline, we left a message on his voicemail, and now he's... Are you poorly?
No. I was just packing a bag.
Well, there you see, that's insightful.
I'm sorry about that.
Sorry, cutting it
down. I don't know what happened.
Keep on going with CPR.
No, it's all right. Well, we've got a few projects coming up. And there's some wonderful places that have been getting involved, wonderful charities. LCVAS, I've shamelessly plugged them. RFingham, Heritage Project there. Mm-hmm. We've got Lincolnshire Voluntary Services.
Even the Lincoln Literary Festival.
And the Lincoln Literary Festival, the Book Festival. Mm-hmm. Yes, takes place in September every year.
And, of course, the agricultural world of the joys of the Lincolnshire Show.
Indeed, yes, that would come up as well, so. Wonderful.
Truly amazing. Graham, I gave you a heck of a good introduction, which I'm sure even McDonald will confirm. I was talking about Graham getting a BAFTA, or at least Academy Award.
Yes.
And, of course, he just threw his phone down, and that's it. We haven't heard it from again.
No, I can confirm.
Anyway, what the hey. Eloise has got some key questions for you relating to Holby City. Eloise.
Hello, Eloise. Hi.
Hello. Your IMDb page never fails to disappoint, and I was just having a look.
It's the gift that keeps on giving, isn't it, really?
It is. It's amazing. And I was just wondering, whenabouts you worked on Holby City?
Yes, I did. Whereabouts?
When?
Times,
I think the last time was about a year ago. 2 years ago.
Oh.
You see, yeah. I thought it was way back in the 90s, but no, it's just literally 20s.
No. I did a whole series of about 10 or 11 stories over the over 2 years, the last 2 years ago, as it were, yeah.
Splendid. Are you gesticulating there for Alan, just to sort of see what's happening there? Alan, of course, Alan Ritson, being one of our mature presenters, who's been hunting headphones for the last 3 hours. Out in India, no doubt, just to get those headphones together. Is he okay?
He's fine, yeah, just put them down the table.
Splendid. That's all we like to hear. So noises off here, but sometimes it gives listeners sort of insight into the wacky world of the Siren Radio Studio. Of course, the thing that always impressed me about Holby City and Casualty is you go around the corridor, and you wouldn't realise that one studio set was in London and the other one was in Cardiff.
Or Bristol. Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. The magic of the media. Truly amazing. Now, I know you've done Australia, Graham, but have you done Canada?
I've been to Canada on a Doctor Who convention.
Was it a day trip? And you got out of it? Because so far, apart from Abigail, who lives there and gives great banking advice, especially with respect to passwords and various other bits and pieces. Can't mention the name of the bank, can we?
I don't know.
No, maybe not. Exactly, yes.
Just in case.
Shh. But it's a very good bank. Anyway, in terms of that whole sequence, what was your experience of the convention for science fiction folk in Canada?
I had a fabulous time. I was in Toronto. Toronto.
We identified this before Christmas, of course, yeah.
Which was just before Christmas, I went to Chicago on a Doctor Who convention, which was that was very, very interesting. Mm. But Canada was just fabulous, and the people were just smashing. It was a really smashing affair.
Well, that's all we needed to know, basically, because if they hadn't been good, then Abigail would have actually sort of got on the phone straight away to the Canadian citizens
all
and said,
Canadians.
friends.
Exactly.
Let them know.
Sort it out. That's the important thing. Sort it out.
Where are you from? Whereabouts do you come from?
Well, I was born in Niagara, but I go to school in Toronto, so.
Oh, right. Oh, yes. It's just across the water.
Oh, well, yeah.
I never got to see Niagara, which was a shame because it was just too far for the time I was in. But it was a really nice area, and looking over across the lake was just fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure it'll work well. Now, Eloise, you said there's another Doctor Who event taking place at the National Space Museum in Leicester. Is that correct?
Yeah, on Saturday and Sunday this week.
All right. Is Graham going to be there?
Oh. No,
he hasn't been invited. Unbelievable.
No, haven't been invited. No, but it goes in phases anyway. You know, you're popular one period and then you're not so popular next.
Having had a chance to watch the Jodie Whittaker era of Chris Chibnall, is it a case of, Chris, what are you doing? Write some decent stories for her. You've got a good actress there. Make use of it. Or is it a case of, I don't care anymore now?
Oh, is that what you feel? Because I thought, I think the stories are nice and simple. You understand them, and she's brilliant.
Hmm. There we have it, then. It just goes to show. Bethany, any
questions? So what about you?
I thought it was okay. I would say it's about sort of an average of about maybe a 6.5 over the whole series. So yeah, some useful bits, some bits where you thought, really, seriously? But that's life, of course. Bethany, any questions you'd like to put to Graham Harper?
Yeah, of course. Any new projects you're working on at the moment?
Hi, Bethany. I am actually working on something... with Glenn McCoy, who I think Alexis knows of.
Time Lash.
Who's written something. I'm not going to say what it is because he won't want me to tell anybody anything, but he's written something that is special, really special. So I'm hoping I might be involved with that, which is a television production in 3 or 4 episodes. I'm working on a project about Douglas Adams, which is a theatre piece which will be shot at a multi-camera studio, hopefully, up in Liverpool.
Oh, brilliant.
Douglas Adams in Liverpool. Calm down, calm down.
So. I know.
It's amazing. Just goes to show that.
Well, he won't be there, unfortunately, because he's dead.
Oh. You see, honestly, Graham, sometimes you just sort of address these things as though it was an insurmountable problem. There's always tap on the table or postcards, you know. It's not as though he's gone elsewhere like Canada, for instance, you know. It's there. Or indeed Norwich. I love that Norwich. It's great.
Yes, fantastic. Norwich, yes.
Graham, who would you like to speak to? We've got Eva MacDonald, we've got Ben Lewis, we've got Abigail Lemay, we've got Eloise Sheehan, and we've got Bethany Gulliver. Five fantastic individuals whom do you wish to quiz about their experiences?
Well, I'm going to insult them all, but go for Ian.
We don't have an Ian in the studio. I'll say it again, because obviously the pronunciation, maybe it lost something in translation there. We never have this problem with Phil Leonis at this time of day, do we? No, he's in California. Eva, Ben, Abigail, Eloise, or Bethany?
Sorry, ladies, go for Ben. Hello, Ben.
Hello, thank you, I feel privileged.
Right, so tell me something about why you're on this programme, or what are you promoting? Yourself, I hope.
I'm on this program most weeks, in fact. But I do the PR course. That's what I do. I'm a student, PR student. Personally, for me, I do the radio just because I enjoy it and it benefit me for my career. You know, help me with a bit of confidence doing PR and speaking to people. And I think it's just good fun, really, being able to chat to what lovely guests and be joined by wonderful co-presenters and, of course, sit here and support Alex week in, week out.
Well, I need every help and bit of support I can get, because I just actually realising, Graham, when we started doing the show, none of the five co-presenters were actually even born. So, you know, it just goes to show.
Oh, my goodness.
And how about we turn this back on to you, Graham? You know, what do you enjoy about Bit Siren, and why do you return so often?
It's tradition for me because of Alexis, because we're friends from a long, long time ago. Well, been friends for
many,
a long time.
Many, many years, centuries, past lives. Whoa!
But I find it interesting to hear you lot. So see the young and up and coming talent that's going to go into broadcasting. I don't know about you, because you're not going to go into broadcasting, I presume.
Not really.
Apart from what you're doing now.
Well, I'm sure Alex will keep me firmly in touch with.
He will be the next Chloe Baker, obviously.
Yeah, following
gender realignment.
Following my release from university.
What are your plans? What are you thinking of? How are you going to use your PR degree when you get it? What are you going
to
do?
Well, so the plan at the moment is to go into automotive PR, which is what I've been doing for the last year on placement. And hopefully that will stand me in good stead, really, to deal with clients, but also
any perhaps high figure people that I end up bumping into by pure luck. And just being able to sort of, if I need to promote something in the future, I'm not afraid to go on radio and talk about it, really.
Yeah, no, this is good. I mean, this kind of program is really good for you to develop that.
Yeah, that's the plan. And, yeah, hopefully it will stand me in good stead.
Yeah, no, it's good. So you're going to hold off the press and kind of be very selective for your clients?
Well, I'll have to put Siren at the top of the list, unfortunately. But, it should do me well. And, you know, PR is a wonderful thing, really. I mean, it has a bad reputation in terms of people think it's spin and whatnot. But overall,
it's bouncy, 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 fun, 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 fun.
It is. It is.
Is it PR so much fun?
It is. It's almost like I've been reciting that.
I didn't say science. I said clients.
That too. We seem to have a challenge in translation here in all sorts of ways. Only, yes. Graham, we don't actually press 888. Just go for subtitle. Go for the subtitle option.
That's it, yeah. 888, teletext, yeah. I remember that, CFAX.
Strange days. Anyhow, will you be watching the Academy Awards, Graham, or is it a case of you've given up all hope?
No, Academy Awards? I did, yes.
The Oscars.
I also watched the National Television
Awards. Critical one. Somebody said, do you think Anton Deck deserved yet another award?
No.
There you are.
I think I can understand their popularity, but there are other people in the world who are, I think, just as popular. Well, obviously they're not, but I found it a bit strange yesterday when Ant has been, you know, not around for very much this year. So it did seem a bit odd, but hey, that's the way ITV works. And the BBC is probably the same.
Well, there you have it, you see, in a nutshell, quite literally. Eva, go for it. Last two questions for Graham Harper, please.
Oh, Graham, have you had an interesting telephonic link with us today?
Yes, it's very short. I never get a chance to really hear from you all. But,
Skype, okay? You can join us via Skype. You can co-host the entire show.
You know, no, I don't want to do that. I like talking to the young guys. It's really nice.
Well, when are we having you back in the studio? That's the next question. Mm. When will you be back?
Will you make a journey to Lincoln in the next few months, Graham?
Yes, absolutely. I really enjoyed that.
Just before the graduations for Ben's company, whether we have Graham Harper in the studio,
that would be
we'll get that
excellent.
Sorted through. Just as I promised that Bernie Slavin was going to do a show with me back in Middlesbrough, he did that. He was a footballer, by the way, Graham. From Middlesbrough.
Yes.
I know. It's all wondrous. And the next question, of course, is...
Well, I think Ben already asked it. There we go.
I was just asking when he's coming up to Lincoln next.
Yeah, it's kind of there.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
Graham Harper will return. We're taking you to the news with Post Malone and Swaley, and then it's Carly Rae Jepsen. What's not to love? Party for one. Thanks. No, I won't be doing the dance moves. I'm not a well person. Anna Lewis, William Coles, Benjamin Pike. Christopher Pike, Private Pike, Arthur Weingarten, Chloe Baker, Sarah Bullimore, Darren Kay, and Graham Harper, and in the studio, Eva McDonald, Ben Lewis, Abigail May, Eloise Sheehan, Bethany Gulliver. That's it, we're out of here. We're back tomorrow morning. Ben, you back with us then?
Of course I am, yes.
Eva, come
on. Well,
I'm going to try it, Alex,
I will get it. Exactly, etc. And of course, who knows what could happen from that sort of point of view. It's just been a whole different world entirely. Shall we say Happy Wednesday?
Yes, happy Wednesday. Wednesday.
After 1, 2, 3, happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday.